This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries, with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit HisWayOut.com.
Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, "Once gay, always gay." How do you respond? "My child just told me he's gay. What can I do?" What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you were able to tune in last week when my special guest, Pastor Brandon Holthouse, senior pastor of Rock Harbor Church here in Bakersfield, California, was my special guest. And I'm pleased to share with you that he is back with me in the studio again today. Welcome back again.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Once again, we quickly ran out of time, so I'm glad you're here to continue the conversation. We largely focused our sharing with one another last time on the church and homosexuality. Yeah. And I'd like to continue that same thread, if you would.
You betcha.
I wonder, would you agree that far too many Christian leaders have allowed secular guidance to trump biblical teaching regarding homosexuality?
Boy, it's at an all-time high, what I would say. And, you know, we gave the stats last week from the Pew Research about, you know, the pastors not having a biblical worldview, where you're in the 80 percentile of pastors not knowing a biblical worldview, and they have basically syncretism. And what Pew found out about the syncretism is exactly what your question is asking. They're being led by the secular community because they're practicing syncretism with the culture. Syncretism means they're bringing in, you know, the values and principles of the culture, and we know how crazy the culture is, and they're actually pulling that into their version of Christianity, which is a perverted version. And hence, we're having churches that are now woke, that are practicing critical race theory, and now are gay affirming. And we got a major problem on our hands because of this. And so, believe it or not, Philip, the churches at large are working against the biblical worldview now, which is insane. But that's the problem we're having.
Last week, we turned our attention to greatly answering the question, scripturally speaking, what do we know about homosexuality?
Right.
And we know a lot. And what I simply cannot get my head around is the fact that search the totality of Scripture, and every time that homosexuality is mentioned in both the Old and the New Testament, it is always mentioned in the context of a behavior that no man or woman is to practice. That is abundantly clear, but so many today are still challenging that.
Yeah, and let me talk about that challenge, because you're making a good statement about that. So this is how they challenge it. A, they twist it. Well, that's not what they meant, you know. So they'll attack the intent of that, or they'll add to it things that are not added to it. For instance, they'll say, "Well, yeah, that's Paul saying that to the Corinth church, but you know, back then it was tied up in idolatry, so they were going to temple prostitutes and having this done." And it's like, wait a second, man, that's not what he's talking about. He makes it so clear in the Greek, you can't miss it. And then the other thing is, well, that's Old Testament stuff, and so they'll say, yeah, that was for Israel, but that's not for today. So there's the historical argument. And then there's just a flat-out suppression of truth, like Romans 1 says, where, well, yeah, I know what it says, but I'm just going to suppress it, and that's not what it means. And so you have these varying ways of handling the truth that gives them so-called justification for ignoring it.
Yes.
And still trying to say they're biblical. But at the end of the day, It's an attack on the truth.
And today we don't have to look very far to find an abundance of pro-gay theologians,
that's right,
pro-gay apologists, and revisionists of Scripture. And the main objection I have with all those I just mentioned is that they speculate and they theorize on what Scripture doesn't say,
that's right,
attempting to validate homosexual practice. Case in point or example would be, one of the main pro-gay arguments is, well, Jesus never specifically mentioned homosexuality.
Oh, man,
and so therefore, if he didn't specifically mention it, it must be okay. Well, he didn't mention a lot of things specifically by name, but we don't take many other things that it's okay.
That's right.
Simply because he didn't mention it specifically.
Well, to that point, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of things he didn't talk about. He didn't talk about abortion. He didn't talk about critical race theory or anything like that. But doesn't mean the principles are not there. So let's just tackle that one as an apologetic. They say Jesus didn't talk about homosexuality, so therefore it's okay. Apparently what they don't understand is they don't understand Greek. When he talked about the only allowance for biblical divorce, he used the words porneia. And here's where they get caught up in. They don't understand what the word porneia is. It's an umbrella term for any sexual practice that deviates from the biblical norm. So the word porneia is not just simply adultery. It includes fornication. It includes bestiality. It includes homosexuality.
Yes.
Did Jesus talk about it? He sure did. He used the word porneia in the Greek. So that's how they try to slide through it. And they try to get away with things like that. Saying, well, Jesus never talked about it. Come on, man. Let's take that for another example. He wouldn't need to talk about homosexuality in Israel because under the Mosaic Law, which they were all under, they knew it was forbidden.
Right.
So why would he address it with an issue that the culture didn't practice to begin with?
Yes.
It might have happened in the back room, but they knew it was forbidden already. So it's a given.
And even though we are primarily focusing on the topic of homosexuality, the greater crisis is a crisis of truth.
That's right.
And when truth is avoided, minimized, or revised by the church, it will inevitably be denigrated, revised, and ultimately prohibited in the culture. And are we not witnessing that as we speak?
Oh, man. You know, I'm on social media a lot of times, and I'm on Rumble, YouTube. The censorship, Philip, on these topics, they are suppressing the truth. And so it's not just happening in the pulpit. It starts in the culture, and the culture does not want us to give help to people to escape this lifestyle. And you see it through politicians. You see it through elections. They're saying that now in California and in other states, you cannot practice therapeutic counseling to get people out of that lifestyle. And thank God I'm a biblical counselor. I'm not licensed by the state of California. But you can't do reparative therapy for people coming out of it. And that's where you start seeing this suppression of truth. Oh, my goodness, you're not going to let them get out. And then the churches who are not following the truth then incorporate that into their counseling programs or discipleship programs, and they don't even address it in their counseling.
And I can personally speak to that, because often what you're sharing, the flip side of that is that many of us, myself included, who were unfortunately once deeply entrenched in the gay communities and were practicing a behavior, again, that God says, don't go there.
Yeah.
What you don't hear today is the harm that caused us.
Oh, man.
The physical, the emotional, the mental, the psychological harm.
The damage.
We don't hear about that. We just hear, don't tell people that they can change because that's too harmful. Well, first and foremost, again, God says change is possible.
Yes.
That's a biblical fact.
Right.
And set the Bible aside for a second. Set the spiritual component aside for a second. Let's just talk about in the natural sense. Homosexual practice is high-risk behavior, period.
Yes, you're right.
That is a sound fact. That's not being shared today in most circles.
No, and you correct me if I'm wrong. I read somewhere that the practice, whether it's lesbianism or homosexuality, shortens the lifespan of the individual in that lifestyle, whether it's through drugs, alcohol, disease, whatever. So we're now saying that it's okay to practice a lifestyle that's going to shorten your life, and at the same time, we're telling people not to eat certain foods because it's going to damage their life. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, why would the medical community and the scientific community not say, hey, wait a second, this will hurt you?
Right.
But they stay silent on it. And so what I pick up on this is anything Satan operates on is anti-human. Satan is anti-human. He wants to destroy human beings. So the first area he goes after is our sexuality to destroy us through diseases or whatever. And so he's captured this area in our culture. But it's anti-human. It's anti-human to say, go ahead and keep practicing a lifestyle that's going to kill you. That's insane. And I'm not even talking from a spiritual level. I'm just talking about a physical level.
Right, right.
But now you get into the psychological level, the mental anguish, that the suicide rates and stuff like that. They're not even thinking about that, what these poor people go through.
That's right. And often when I have the opportunity, especially to converse with gay-identified young men, and they're contemplating, they're on the fence, I have these feelings, I have these emotions, I have these attractions, but yet I know the truth of Scripture. Yeah. And it's an intense battle.
It is.
It really, really is an intense battle. But often they are not getting both sides of the story.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I have the opportunity to come alongside and say, look, if you're about to ready to take a leap, get all the facts.
That's right.
And unfortunately,
right.
Today, even in some of our churches, they are not getting the biblical facts on this whole subject matter.
No, it's and this is the perplexing thing that you and I have talked to about off air. Why would you not want to help someone get out of this life and give them the facts and tell them, hey man, here's what this lifestyle can do to you. Let me show you the biblical way out. Why wouldn't they want to do that? What is that, Philip? Is that fear of man? Is that I'm more worried about my nickels and noses? I'm worried about offending people? What is that? Because to me, I see it as cowardness. You don't want to help somebody? I don't get that. Because you're afraid of offending them? Come on, man.
Yes. We both agree that the church remains God's vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting
Amen.
Humanity. It's not to say we have all the answers,
right.
But we have the privilege and the responsibility of going with these individuals to the one who does.
That's right.
But the truth is today that we have an abundance, various churches all over the map.
Sure.
We have gay-affirming churches, a church that believes and proclaims that homosexuality is inborn and cannot be changed and is, in fact, a gift from God.
Yeah.
Now, that's the view of gay-affirming churches.
Yes, and there's plenty of those now popping up everywhere.
Yes.
And that's scary. That's really scary because it's keeping the person in a destructive lifestyle. And I don't care if it's the gay lifestyle. What if we just take another topic like drugs? Okay, we're drug-affirming. Go ahead and do all your drugs. We know heroin will kill you one day, but just I know it makes you feel good. Do it. That's insane. And yet we have churches that are gay-affirming.
Yes.
It's insane. Yeah.
We also today, we have fearful churches. They're churches that feel as though they're kind of stuck in the middle on this whole subject matter, afraid to say really anything at all about the whole subject matter. And as a result, they don't say a word.
Yeah, boy. And we call that the sin of silence. And my goodness, if you haven't realized in reading the ministry of our Lord and the prophets in the Old Testament, they told the truth and they knew it was going to divide people. They knew it was going to hurt people, but they knew that truth, although it might hurt, sets people free.
Hmm.
And they knew it needed to be said, whether someone liked it or not. Because if someone, that's why the scripture and a lot of times in the book of Revelation says, he who has an ear, let him hear.
Yes.
You're given a free will to hear the truth, and you can accept it or reject it, but God wants you to hear that truth so you can make a decision.
We also today, we have gay-bashing churches.
Yeah, boy.
Where the teaching, and really specifically scripture regarding the whole subject matter, is void of any grace. That's troubling because with Jesus as our perfect role model, when he challenged, when he confronted individuals, which he did, he always did so with an equal balance of both truth and grace.
Yes, that's it.
And I really believe on this subject matter, especially what we say is important. Also critically important is how it is said.
That's right.
But gay bashing churches, they're void often of any grace whatsoever. It's just law, law, law.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who can live up to that all the time.
No, and that's the, that you mentioned the key issue about the Lord. He gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. And it says that Messiah came in grace and truth. And notice the order. The order is very important. It says he came in grace first, then truth. Mm-hmm. So when we look at that, as God is trying to establish a relationship first, and then I'll give you the truth. And that's what Messiah was doing. Now, if a church is not modeling grace first and truth, then they're doing exactly what you're saying. They're gay bashing. Now, here's the thing. This is what the churches sometimes in this gay bashing category don't know how to do. They don't know how to separate the LGBT agenda versus helping the individual. And that is, they usually conflate the two, and it muddies up the water, and so you end up with gay bashing. So, like, when I talk about the LGBT agenda, like it's going on in the schools, I make note that it's the agenda. I'm not going after the individual person. I'm going after what they're pushing, and that's different. But the gay bashing, they just put it all together.
Yes.
They're of the devil, you know, that type
of
thing.
They're only seeing the issue. They're not seeing the person.
That's it. That's right.
Another church that I would offer to this conversation, and I'm confident I'm going to get phone calls and emails and Facebook messages
that's
on
all
this,
right.
are churches with little passion.
Oh, man.
They're a church whose people are not only silent about this issue, but generally don't care that much because they find it to be irrelevant to their lives.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that is a Sardis church, my friend. That is a dead church, according to the book of Revelation. And there's plenty of those. And that's the weirdest thing. They privatize their Christianity. And, you know, where Christianity is a public religion, we got the Great Commission. We're to go out. They make it, it's us four and no more. And since it doesn't affect anyone here, we're not going to talk about it. And it's like, you have totally missed the boat on what you're called to do. You're supposed to effect the culture, and when you don't do that, you've lost your salt and light. And Jesus said, if the salt loses its salt, it's no good other than to be thrown on the ground and trampled. That's a Sardis church right there.
And finally, I would offer the church that is sold out to Christ's way. They have a godly passion, a church that embraces the Lordship of Christ and the totality, the authority of Scripture.
That is hard to find. That is hard to find. That is the Philadelphia element that you're describing, Phil. And that Philadelphia element, if you read about the Church of Philadelphia, it was a small church, but they had a passion for God. They were sold out, doing what they can. And Christ even says, you have little resources. They had little money to do it, but yet they were doing it. They were the only ones to do it. And that church is where you want to go. That's the church you want to attend. They speak the truth in love, but they don't shy away from it. And I'm telling you, that's harder and harder to find these days. But they are there. They're doing the work. They're carrying the load right now. They're in the trenches.
With all these various types of churches today, it just seems to me the appropriate question is, what would an ideal church community look like in light of the homosexual question?
Okay. I think, you know what, you answered this best when we were having lunch one day. And I think that I'm going to say the same thing you did. You've got to be able to go where they're at. Because you made the point that they don't come to the church because of all these other problems, right? And so you have to go onto their territories. And I think I'm in total agreement with that. And that's what the Great Commission is go and tell, not come and see. And too many churches have this come-and-see mentality, and they turn their church services into an evangelistic crusade every Sunday instead of edifying the body of Christ. Okay, so that's where the non-offensive, the not talk about it is, because they've turned the church into an evangelistic program. And that's not biblical ecclesiology. Sunday morning, when we have church, is for the equipping of the saints. To do what? The work of ministry, to go out to the homosexual, to go out to these other groups and reach them, the Judea, the Samaria, and the other ends of the earth. And so that's what I think is missing now. And instead we have churches that turned into, I call it worshiptainment, that we're going to entertain you and make you feel good and not address the truths that really are happening. And so it's reversed now. And so we've got to turn that back to the biblical mandate of go into hell, go to where they're at, help them.
Yes. Let me take you back a bit. And again, some of our lunch conversations, we have discussed this before, but I'm recalling that in June of 2015, mm-hmm. when America legalized same-sex marriage throughout the nation, literally, and I am not exaggerating, I mean literally overnight, individuals that I knew did a complete flip-flop. The attitude became, well, now they can get married, so maybe it's not so bad after all.
Yeah.
And my question is, wait a minute.
Yeah.
When did God's word change?
Right.
And his word hasn't changed.
No.
But what we've seen since we legalized same-sex marriage, at least the view from where I sit, we have been in a downward spiral ever since.
Oh, man. And you know, yeah, and I'm sure you did, but we warned back then that, look, you open this door. That door, it might be a crack, but it's going to go wide open, and we're going to see other things happen from this. And like we've talked about off air, look, you know, okay, so you have, the culture by the Supreme Court is affirming same-sex attraction and marriage and stuff like that. Okay, but then what other groups are going to come from that area?
That are waiting on the sidelines.
That are waiting on the sidelines. Say, wait a second, if you've just said legally it's okay to have that desire, well, they're going to say, I have this desire, or I have that desire, or what I think it's okay to have to marry a horse, or whatever it might be. And by the same token, they're making the argument that gay marriage made. And now here's the more dangerous part. You have the pedophilers coming out saying, well, we were born with this desire too. You must honor our desire as well. It's not fair that you're doing that for the homosexual community, but not us.
Yes. And with respect to same-sex marriage, bring it back again to the authority of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Every biblical example of marriage in which God brings a man and a woman together is just that, always between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
There are no exceptions.
There isn't. And the reason because of that, not only the design of human beings. I mean, if you look at a male and a female, they're designed differently. One carries the baby for procreation and stuff. And you can just see by the biology of a human anatomy. But further than that, the reason for this is God said, look, the nuclear family is the basis of society. If you don't protect the nuclear family, where a mom and a dad are raising children, your society will go on its head. You will lose your society. And is that what we're seeing? Yes. Look at the Greek Empire. Look at the Roman Empire. They were practicing these kinds of behaviors, and it corrupted them from the inside because it hit at the foundation of society.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having the same thing now. So it goes beyond even just the biology. It goes to how God formed the entire structure of society. And if that happens, we're going to lose society.
One of the primary arguments that often raises its head on this whole subject matter is God is love. So love is love. It doesn't matter
right.
if it's two men, two women,
oh boy.
Five men, seven women. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And the other argument I hear is the heart wants what the heart wants. Well, are we to believe now, are we to embrace that the presence of love, or even just a speculation, or I think I'm in love with you, is that to be the validating factor for behavior?
Yeah, that's what they're basing their arguments on. And unfortunately, if you look for them, they don't understand biblical love. The Creator tells us who to love.
Yes.
And he puts boundaries on love. And people say, well, there's no boundaries on that. Yes, there is. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, Paul puts all the boundaries on love in that passage. He tells you these are the boundaries. And God tells you what the boundaries are by saying this is what is acceptable. So the argument that love is love, that comes from Satan. Satan says do anything that makes you feel good. God's saying, no, there's appropriate love, and it's in these categories. And if you put it in a different category, you're going against the design order, and you're going to get fouled up.
love cannot be about sexual preference. It has to be about biblical obedience.
That's right.
And there's where we separate the men from the boys.
It really is. It comes down to that. I mean, and you think about that. If you follow God's design, it prevents fornication. It would prevent adultery, because that's what he's against, or even homosexuality. Now, he gives freedom to the people to make the choice, but by design, he tells you that this is the only acceptable way you can express your sexuality. And look what Satan does. What is the first thing he goes after? Sexuality. To pervert that. Because he knows he can destroy the whole creation by that.
We know, I mean, men and women, even dedicated, faithful followers of Christ, we're all in process of being conformed more and more into the image of our loving Savior.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you ain't got some issues. You make that statement to me, I know you got at least one issue. It's called lying.
That's right.
We've all got stuff we're working on.
We do.
But this really is ultimately, as Scripture clearly defines for us, it's a battle between the spirit and the flesh. And I would submit that the battle is going to be won by the one we feed the most.
Yeah, boy. You're making a good point right there. And so, you know, you feed that sin nature, and I like what Adrian Rogers said one time. He says, it's going to take you further than you wanted to go. It's going to make you pay a price more than what you wanted to pay. And it's going to keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And that's right. That's what the sin nature will do. If you feed that sin nature, you will end up in a gutter spiritually. And so that's why God warns about crucifying the flesh and living for Christ. Yes. Absolutely.
And let's be fair. I mean, dying to self is not easy at
it
times in life.
It is not.
And it often can get very, very messy.
Yeah.
But I've also learned this. We don't tell God what sacrifice is. He tells us.
Yeah. That's a good statement, Phil. And you think about that. People want to, it's like Cain. They want to practice the religion of Cain. I want to bring my own stuff to sacrifice to God instead of bringing a lamb and shedding its blood. Yes. You know, that was the whole Cain and Abel thing. And that's what really people are practicing, that they think what they're sacrificing to God is that should be accepted, and it's not. And typically that's their good works. Well, I'm a good person. And it's not. God says, no, I need blood sacrifice. Now, thank God sent Jesus to be that blood sacrifice to make atonement for all of us. And so therein lies where the rescue is.
Many, many thanks once again, Pastor Brandon, for being here. Please keep speaking and teaching God's truth.
We will.
You are greatly, greatly appreciated. For all those tuning in today, thanks so much. I hope you'll join me again next Saturday, same time, same station. We will continue lifting high the name of Jesus. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.
This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries, with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit hiswayout.com.